Hey, Alan.
Hey.
What would you say is the most important consideration for a buyer who's making a purchase decision on eBay?
Good question.
I know.
Photos?
They're certainly important. They have to be the best photos you can take, in fact. Photos that are poorly lit, or you've seen them, the ones that are out of focus, or they contain lots of distracting background.
Yep.
They can turn off even the most determined buyer. But this is not about photos.
Okay.
Because ultimately, photos are not the most important deal maker or breaker for buyers on the hunt.
Okay, interesting. What about descriptions then?
Well, descriptions are definitely important. There may be details about the item that are not even evident in the photo. Happens to me all the time. But no, it's not photos. There's an even more important factor. Think. It'll come to you.
No photos.
Right?
Not description.
No.
What else is there?
Oh,
wait. I got it, I think.
What?
Duh. It's price.
Bazinga!
Yay!
The actual survey shows that the number one thing on buyers' minds when deciding whether or not to purchase something is price.
The price is right.
That's right.
I should have thought of that. Price is very important to me as a buyer.
And to me as well.
And so price should be just as important to a seller.
Well, you'd think so. And that's why finding the right price is the theme for our show this week. I'm Griff.
And I'm Alan.
And this is the eBay for Business podcast, your weekly source for the information and inspiration you need to start, run, and grow a business on the world's most powerful marketplace.
So it's all about finding and setting the right price for your listings on eBay.
That's right. It is. And it isn't always just finding the one right price. It's staying on top of trends so you can adjust the price to keep it right.
To uncover the right price sweet spot for seller and buyer.
Oh, you are so eloquent. And to that end, on the main story, we'll be joined this week by two sellers, Nick Dunkley from the UK and Joe Latif from Australia. Nick and Joe have some very specific pricing strategies they've developed and honed over time for their specific niche categories, and they're eager to share them with us.
And on Inside eBay, we'll be talking to one of our colleagues here, Stephen Hong, with the eBay perspective on determining the right pricing strategy.
And it's time for our monthly edition of What's Hot with Jen Deal, so we have that.
Yay, and we have seller questions sent in to us to answer.
Oh, and there's some doozies in there. I can't wait to get to them.
Can't wait.
Have you seen the questions?
I haven't.
Oh, they're fun.
Oh, cool.
Of course, you mean we're going to attempt to answer them, because sometimes even we're stumped, right?
We'll try our best. We'll have some fun along the way, I'm sure.
But enough about our shortcomings. Let's get this party started.
You are so not hip, Griff.
Well, I do think I have some street credibility. I mean,
it wasn't a question.
Oh. Huh. Now it's the buzz with Alan and Griff. By the way, Alan, just Alan, how's that one name thing working out for you, by the way?
I like it. I'm like Madonna, Cher, Sting.
Yeah, right. Fewer outfit changes, though. You know, the listeners would never know. It's a podcast. It's an audio, so there's no visual.
What do you think of this?
That's a surprising quick outfit change. How did you do that, Alan? I never thought you'd look so good. And is that champagne sparkle?
It is. Thank you, Griff. I appreciate that.
Have you been watching Drag Race?
Yes, I have.
It shows.
In this podcast studio here, we can transcend the barriers of mere audio with fabulous outfits.
Okay, what do you have for this week, Sparkle Boy?
All right, Griff. Let's start with some topics from the community. So over on our discussion boards, an occasional seller was concerned about selling to a new buyer and asked the community how to proceed and remain protected. Sellers discussed buyers who open false not as described cases to get a partial refund or avoid paying return shipping costs. That then led to questions about return timeframes sellers and buyers must adhere to. So clarification was sought regarding feedback protections for sellers when an item was shipped on time but delivered late, and whether these protections only apply to the guaranteed delivery program.
Feedback protection. Is that important anymore? I mean, really?
Oh, it's nice to have all the little green dots, though, on your page. Okay. And God forbid you would get a red one or a gray one.
Well, the guaranteed delivery program states that guaranteed items will be protected from negative feedback related to late deliveries if the seller ships the item within their handling time. So that's how that works.
Mm-hmm.
The seller protection help page also states, you can read it there, that all sellers are protected from negative feedback related to late delivery when the item is shipped on time.
Oh, nice. Thanks, eBay.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Besides the help from our sellers, the community team confirmed seller protections and clarified late delivery feedback protections with the appropriate teams.
Cool. What else, Alan?
The community team also helped to clear up some confusion over managing offers, specifically best offers. Seller feedback was that the wording on our help pages around best offers could cause some confusion.
Really?
We did find a majority of sellers participating in the conversation seemed to have a good grasp of policy, but there was some misunderstanding out there. And the good news is that we passed on seller feedback and the help page was updated to state the policy in a clearer manner.
There's always the opportunity to make something clearer.
I try to do it every day.
And it's always great when we can pass that seller feedback on to help make these quick changes.
Oh, it's my favorite thing to do.
I know.
We also had some feedback in the community this week and questions around managed payments and changes to the packing slips. And we passed the feedback on to the payments and shipping teams.
Speaking of managed payments, I hear that if you're in the program, you should see the addition of PayPal as a form of payment appearing on your listings.
Yes, very exciting news. PayPal as a form of payment has fully rolled out to all sellers who are currently enrolled in managed payments. Yeah, remember, managed payments is a multi-year journey. And at this point, we're inviting sellers who meet criteria.
I love multi-year journeys. You can send postcards back to your family and your mother in Ireland.
It's like when they used to get the boat over to the US in the 1700s, 1800s.
Please tell me we're not that slow. You know, we also had a couple of seller news announcements this week.
We did indeed. On June 1st, FedEx started charging a $350 fee for each incident of a package shipped through FedEx that contains dangerous goods or hazardous materials that is determined to be non-compliant by FedEx.
Yikes. $350?
Oh, God, no. Put a hole in your pocket pretty quickly.
Sure. Just like the acid you're trying to ship. And what is considered a non-compliant package?
I'm glad you asked that question. A non-compliant package is one that contains dangerous goods or hazardous materials, and that can include insufficient or improper packaging, improper hazmat labeling or markings, undeclared dangerous goods, prohibited materials, and packages abandoned or refused.
Mm. Do eBay sellers ship this kind of material?
I hope not.
Yeah.
None of our listeners will ship it because they're...
Can you sell
best of the best?
Can you sell radioactive uranium on eBay? I don't think so.
There's a big market out there for uranium, I'm sure. So what this means for sellers is if FedEx determines that you've shipped a non-compliant package, the fee will be reflected on your monthly eBay invoice in the same way that FedEx shipping charges are assessed today.
It begs the question, Alan, how can the fee be avoided?
It is a seller's responsibility to ensure packages are properly marked, labeled, packaged, and documented if necessary, according to their hazardous materials shipping policies. In addition to FedEx requirements, any shipment you prepare must comply with DOT hazardous material regulations and any restrictions maintained by your preferred shipping carrier. Please refer to UPS, USPS, and eBay's policy for more information. We'll include these links in the transcript.
What could they be shipping? What could you sell and ship that would actually be considered hazardous?
Hazardous liquid, like mercury?
I suppose.
Is it like if thermometers? If you ship the thermometer, it's like broken and leaking?
You know, you're smart. That may be a use case.
Yeah, that would be pretty bad.
Are these oral or the other kind? Anyway, what's next in seller announcements?
Let's shift gears and talk about some improvements to the buying experience on listing pages and also in checkout.
Let's.
eBay is doing this to enable buyers to quickly choose the shipping service that best meets their needs. You do not need to take any action to apply these changes. The first shipping option you designate will always be shown on the listing and in search and in never removed. This change applies to ship to home services only. It will not apply to buy online, pick up in store, or local pickup. Shipping options with guaranteed buy dates are prioritized if speed and cost is the same as a non-guaranteed delivery.
We also posted an eBay for Business blog article on how free shipping could change your business.
Yeah, the post cites a number of studies with stats on free shipping and e-commerce. When free shipping is available, 3 out of 4 shoppers say they're more likely to shop online. Part of the reason for the shift in mindset is a change in competitive landscape, with the majority of online retailers moving to free shipping as the default option. Customers have come to expect it across the board, regardless of business size.
It's automatic for me now. I just give preference. If it says free shipping, my mind goes to those listings first when I'm buying.
Yeah, it's just so easy at a glance to see how much you're going to pay. You don't have to do any maths. And that's what you want. You just want a simple buying experience.
Yeah, don't make your buyers do the maths.
It's like, when you go to a restaurant, then you have to work out the tip plus tax. It would be great if you could just get the total cost.
But I'm good at the tips. So I always give 20%.
Zero.
The tips, right?
Zero.
I always give 20%. So you take the bill. Yeah. I take the first digits of the bill. So say it's $11.10.
Yep.
The tip is, so I take 111 and multiply it by 2. So it's going to be $2.22. That's 20%. It's real easy.
Oh,
that's why I stick to the 20%, because if it's 19 or 25, I'm lost.
I like that. Yeah. I'll have to try that next time.
Well, anywho, back to the buzz. Within marketplaces like eBay, sellers are discovering that offering free shipping makes them more competitive. Furthermore, many companies are noting an increase of sales. 93% of online buyers add more to their shopping cart when a free shipping option is available. That should be telling you something. And their orders can be 30% higher in value.
As more customers hunt for free shipping when they shop, companies are racing to keep up. In 2018 alone, 88.5% of online orders shipped free. And when compared with other drivers, consumers will still opt for free shipping, even with a slower delivery time. By offering it to your customers, you're giving them a major incentive to buy from you versus somewhere else.
You know, I just sold a bunch of stuff on the weekend.
Yeah.
I went to IKEA.
Okay.
And they had these special limited edition Pride Fracta bags. Those, you know, those big polypropene bags that they sell.
Yeah, they're very popular, right?
Yeah, and these were the rainbow around them, right? So it's for the month of June for Pride.
For Pride.
Right.
Nice.
So I knew they were they're not going to sell them online. They're not going to sell them forever. So I got to IKEA early in the morning. I bought a case, 100 of them, just to see how I do.
Wow.
While we were eating in the cafe with our Swedish meatballs and Swedish pancakes, I put one up with a quantity of 10.
Yeah.
And I put it at – I looked and I saw other sellers were already doing it. And I made sure mine were free shipping.
Right.
And I priced them competitively. And by the end of the breakfast, I'd sold 10 of the 100.
What?
I sold the whole lot within 24 hours.
Oh, my God.
I made a little walking around money.
You're a hustler.
I am.
That was enough to pay for your flat pack wardrobe, wasn't it? That's the way you were in there. Yeah.
You know, Alan, every seller's situation is different. It may be challenging for some sellers to offer free shipping initially, but I tell you, the long-term payoffs are really worth it, as I found out this weekend. Mm. And if you're ready to move to free shipping but are concerned about the cost involved, we recommend trying it with a few items in your store, like a test. Another option is to set a threshold and only offer free shipping on orders over a certain dollar amount. In fact, this is a really popular practice. 66% of consumers expect to spend at least $25 to qualify. So you may find that implementing options like these on a gradual basis could take your business to the next level. And that is that.
Okay. Thanks for sharing your knowledge, Griff. I learned a lot. And I agree with all of that.
I know you do.
Thank you.
That's what a good co-host does. Mm. Anything in the news, Alan? Hopefully nothing about sports.
What's bigger sports news than the NBA finals, Griff?
NBA? You mean baseball's already back? Oh, boy. It's that, I remember that song about baseball. Remember?
No.
Out on the road today, I saw a deadhead sticker on a Cadillac.
Oh, that's Yeah. Griff, baseball's been going on for quite some time, and what were you singing?
Well, that's Don Henley's Voice of Summer, a song from, I think it's the 90s, about baseball.
Oh.
Yeah, baseball.
NBA is basketball. You know, they throw the balls through the basket. It's big in our area as the Warriors are in the finals.
How exciting. American basketball, groundbreaking.
Are you familiar with the rapper Drake?
Aubrey Drake Graham is a Canadian rapper, singer, songwriter, actor, producer, and entrepreneur. Drake gained recognition as an actor on the teen drama television series Degrassi, The Next Generation, in the early 2000s.
Yeah, okay, nice Googling. How about Stephen Curry?
Wardle Steph Curry is an American professional basketball player for the Golden State Warriors of the National Basketball Association, a six-time NBA All-Star. He has been named the NBA's most valuable player twice and won three NBA championships with the Warriors, and you see his face on t-shirts all over the Bay Area.
Wow, you really do know basketball.
I know Google. I've been dribbling since I was a little baby. Apparently, according to Doug, who's the script writer, I was the baddest dribbler in the whole neighborhood. This is exorable. Go ahead.
Well, during a recent playoff game, Drake apparently grabbed some lint off of Curry's hair.
What?
Yeah, he was courtside.
Those
Steph
are good.
Steph Curry was beside him, and he reached and grabbed his head.
Grabbed his head.
Grabbed his hair, like went, you know, like with two fingers, his thumb and his index finger.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah. Some people were unhappy. It's kind of abusive, you know. You can't really be grabbing players from the sideline.
What did Steph think about this?
Steph seems like a nice guy.
So he didn't mind. So it was Drake, right?
Yeah.
It's Drake, so it's okay. If it were me, I would have got ejected from the stadium.
If it was one of us, it'd be like, oh, what's that eBay for Business podcast guy doing here? How's he afford tickets? But no, if you're Drake, you can get away with a bit more.
Because he's what?
Drake is a mover and a shaker. He posted on his Instagram account, Champagne Pappy, a photo mentioning listing the lint on eBay.
He listed it on eBay. How many followers does he have?
Nearly 58 million.
Is that more than Brian Burke?
I think it's more than Brian Burke and Snoop Doggy combined.
Nah.
Let's say there are different types of influencers. The post was captioned, Steph Curry lint hair for sale on my eBay right now. We're not really sure Drake listed the lint, but it inspired others selling Curry lint hair. The prices range from 99 cent to $399,999.
That's some hair. It's like Wayne Newton. I want you to have this. It's a lock of my hair. Is that a song? Another obscure reference by Doug, the scriptwriter. Thanks, Doug.
I wonder if you saved it or threw it in the trash.
That lint's got to be worth something to someone, I guess.
Stop me if you've heard this one before.
Stop!
That's all the news that fits.
Thanks, Alan. Coming up next, let's move on to the main story. It's time for more Main Story. And joining us again are Nick Dunkley of Plum World UK and Joe Latif from Handy Imports. He sells and is from and currently resides in Australia. And our theme for this show is pricing inventory. Lots of strategies involved. Well, welcome back, Nick and Joe.
Hi. Thank you.
Nick, I want to remind people that you sell bathroom everything, right? So it's fixtures.
Everything, yeah.
Yeah. And Joe, you sell restaurant equipment.
That's correct.
And primarily to businesses in Australia.
That's right.
And it's a whole range of restaurant equipment.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, 20,000 items.
20,000?
Yeah, we do everything from the teaspoons to the walk-in ovens and freezer rooms.
Let's begin with the idea of pricing strategies. Nick, tell us a little bit about what your pricing strategy involves in your field.
Basically, when I'm pricing, I want to look at it on a granular detail. So you've got to take into account all the different costs that there are. If, say, for example, we want to set a selling price which is competitive within the market, we need to then work that back. So we need to look at what it costs to ship that item, what your fees are, that's PayPal fees and eBay fees. We need to look at what it costs to package the product. And we also need to look at whether we've had any damage rates or anything like that in the past, where we need to obviously take that into consideration.
So all those factors are part of the formula in the spreadsheet.
Yeah. So we take the gross selling price, we'll deduct the VAT, which is at 20%, and then we'll deduct, say, 11% fees, which is for your eBay and PayPal. Then we'll deduct the cost of sending that parcel. And then we'll also deduct the actual product cost. And then that will leave the net profitability.
And is there any profit in this situation?
That depends.
It sounds really close to me. It sounds like this can be a very tight situation when it comes to margins.
So, I mean, if we know that we've got to sell at a certain price, we can work it back to work out what that cash profit looks like. And then we can then look at the run rate potential. So we can look at how many realistically we think we can sell. And that will let us know sort of what the opportunity looks like.
So, Joe, is that similar for you?
Yeah, it's definitely similar. I mean, everything that Nick said is definitely have to be part of the equation. I have some extra complexities in terms of I've got a mix of imported products that I generally import from Asia, specifically China.
For resale.
For resale, that's right. So, and I also rely on local Australian brands, which I source from Australia. Obviously, in Australia, I'm dealing Australian dollar, AUD. With China, I'm dealing USD. So an extra level of complexity is that you have to incorporate, obviously, the exchange rate to make sure that your replacement cost, not the cost of just getting the item in, but your replacement cost is under check, because there's no need to sell something that you think you're making at 7% on. And then when you're actually going there to rebuy it, you find yourself that you have to actually add extra money.
So how big of a factor in your pricing strategy is currency conversion?
It's big. Just giving you an idea, about 4 years back in Australia, the AUD was just over an USD. So it came to be about $0.05 to a dollar. At the current rate, you're getting 69 cents to the dollar. So there's 35% there. For you, you can't be going year in, year out, not paying attention on that.
How do you keep up with this? Because those changes happen dynamically. How do you figure that into your pricing?
Well, there are tools. One of the tools is I have a central database placed on a certain platform, similar to Zencart or Magento, and you can get extensions for those that actually give you the immediate replacement cost and the default currency that you like. So if I pay my supplier in USD, I would like the default settings on that particular product is also set in USD. So the costing or my buy price is reflective of what it is at the time. I just want to go back a bit about what Nick said. In terms of strategy on an overall, I use what I just said about the cost or the conversion rate on top of what Nick has mentioned already and to figure out the cost. But generally what I do, if I have a fresh item coming in, I place it at the price or I price it at the minimum money I'll take. Okay, so I'll go super sharp on it to give the particular listing the best chance of succeeding and ranking up to the first page. And I'll give it a bit of time and reassess that product. If the product is super successful, that might be because you're pricing it too low. So even though you're making a bit of money, you could actually maximize that. If your biggest competition is far away, there's no need for you to lose on those particular profits. So I raise the price. If it doesn't do well, and it's already at the minimum price I can, or minimum profit I can get, there's no need to import this particular item. I'll throw it into the clearance bin and make space for another one.
See, I do things slightly differently. So when I'm launching a new product, if there's no one else in the marketplace selling that, I'll start off high. So I'll start off at my maximum expected margin that I want to take. and I'll use marketing tools to try and give that the visibility that it needs. Then you've got the option to discount where necessary. So if we know that the sale's not there and there's not much traffic, then we'll bring the price down to get the momentum that we need.
So it's the reverse of what Joe's doing.
Yeah, it's trial and error. So you're just finding that sweet spot of where the sales come in. If the sales start picking up, could you bring it down a little bit more to increase the volume? Or are you happy where it's at?
Starting out with any pricing strategy, you say, I need to make this much money. And how do you determine what that is? Because you can make a profit, but if it's not big enough to sustain your business balance with velocity, then why be in business?
I think that's quite a complex question.
Yes, I know, sorry.
And it varies category to category. And it also depends on the size of the item that you're selling and the volume that it takes up in the warehouse. So if it's a piece of furniture, you want your margin to be a lot higher on that item because it's more expensive to store.
So storage is another concern.
Yeah.
The bigger the item, the more space it's taken up.
And it's more expensive to ship. It costs more if it gets damaged in transit. It's more difficult to pack. So the complexity of it is a lot higher. So you'd want to get a higher percentage margin.
Joe, how often do you revisit your pricing strategy?
It's hard to put a date on it. I don't have a reminder or anything. If I have like a period of time when there's not too much going on, I'll try to utilize that, even if I've just revisited the prices a month ago, because I know, practically speaking, that sometimes I get these runs where for 8 months straight, I'm too deep into a major project that I really can't put my head out of it. I'll try to do it whenever I can, but certainly when we're going past 6 months, that's really pushing it.
What about you, Nick?
Because I'm constantly trading the accounts, I'm changing prices on a daily basis. So I'm constantly reviewing, refining, optimizing. I'm constantly looking at sales reports. What's increased? Why is it increased? Can we maximize the margin there? Are we selling too cheap? If something slowed down, has competition stepped in and undercut us? So it's constantly trying to understand what's going on. And it's always changing. When you're doing particularly well, you'll have competition coming in and trying to undercut you and take your business. So you've got to be pretty savvy and spot that.
How often do you look at your competitors?
I live in Best Match, so I'm in it every day. That's part of the reason why we're so successful. We're monitoring our listings. We're making sure that we're as high up in search as we can to get the visibility that we need. Mm-hmm. And also it's making sure that competition doesn't step in and take our business because there's a lot there.
Paying attention to competition is really important. Joe, your competitive landscape is a little bit different where you are in Australia.
That's right.
But you still have to keep an eye out for competitors.
Oh, absolutely. That's bread and butter stuff. You really have to get onto that and keep an eye. But on top of that, you really need to keep an eye on the trends and clients' regulations. I could give you an example of how unforeseen competitors came in quickly into the market with a certain regulation change in Australia. At some point in time, around 2013 or so, Australia exempted any inbound item, e-commerce purchased item from GST if it was worth less than $1,000. That would affect things like mobile phones, iPhones, and things like that.
And some restaurant equipment.
Absolutely. Things that could be expensive, but also convenient enough for an overseas seller to put in a small package and send it your way and instantly be at least 10% more profitable than yourself. And they also have a cheaper postage advantage. We all know about the international, and I know it goes against common sense, but international sellers will have a more favorable freight rate against sellers who are in Australia trying to send to people down the road. But depending on your location, you probably want to keep an eye on trends and regulations that might bring in a whole set of new competitors that you didn't think really affected you.
I think sometimes as well, you can get a situation where you're doing really well with a product. A competitor comes in, they undercut you. You can't possibly get to the price that they're at. And then you make a decision, well, is it worth continuing selling this product? And sometimes you've just got to cut your losses and move on.
Yeah. When you're looking at competitors and you're looking at pricing, how important is the current marketplace sold items? So if you're on eBay, you can view sold items. Is that part of your strategy?
100%. Everything on eBay is completely transparent. Looking at the sold items, you can quite quickly gauge the volume of inventory that a seller is selling. And if you just click on sold, you can sort of have a look at how much they've sold within a month period. And then you obviously times it by the sale price and it gives you the total sales. So it just gives you what that opportunity looks like.
Joe, do you use sold items?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, definitely use it. But also what I try to do is see how many people are selling that particular product. So like Nick said, you want to gauge from the history what sort of volume that you could fairly or reasonably expect. So what you want to do is not only look at one listing, but you also kind of like add up the sold items histories of multiple competitors. And if you have an advantage on a lot of those, reasonably expect that you will be selling as much as the total.
Do either of you use free shipping or do you charge for shipping as well?
We use free shipping on absolutely everything.
And Joe, do you?
It's different. The complexity of where the item comes from, which supplier comes in, and also the sizing. I mean, again, Australia is so massive that you wouldn't be able to just blanket cover free shipping on all items, small and large, across all states. It's kind of like a more tailored. So this is what I really found interesting and really good tool to have is the freight rates that eBay has incorporated. And they not only included that, but having actually refined it to the point where you can actually have multiple tables was absolutely a good tool to have.
It was built primarily for the U.S., but it works really well for Australia.
Absolutely.
And for those of you who aren't familiar with the continent itself, there are geographical challenges because most of the population lives on the East Coast. There is some West. And then there's this big empty expanse in the middle that to be traversed if you're sending parcels.
And serviced. You'll have, there won't be big towns, but you'll have like towns of 300 people to a few thousand people who are living in those areas that's quite hard to get to. And you really need to find them a service that works for them.
Yeah, it's a big challenge shipping. Where we are and Nick in the UK, pretty evenly distributed, not such a big challenge.
Yeah, I mean, obviously the UK is a lot smaller, but it's sort of segmented into zones. So you've got the UK mainland, which generally is a sort of a flat cost. And then you might pay a surcharge to deliver to the higher zone. So the Scottish Highlands and Islands and also sort of Northern Ireland.
Yeah.
But we incorporate the shipping into all of our pricing structure because for us, the fast and free and the free delivery is quite a big selling point for us. Yeah. We think it adds value because not a lot of our competitors offer free delivery on palletized goods. And also with having the premium seller badge, we gain better visibility and we obviously get 10% discount on our fees for meeting all those requirements.
That's important in the competitive sense as well. Joe, what's the biggest challenge you face?
Probably that would have to be the currency conversion, that we mentioned earlier.
Because of so many different sources from outside of the country.
Absolutely. It sounds like, yes, you have the tool, but managing the tool and tweaking it and making sure that's maintained is a task in its own right.
It's a full-time job. You'll have to hire someone just to do that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. And Nick, what's your biggest challenge?
Similar sort of thing. I mean, obviously with the amount of SKUs that we sell, we've got coming up to 4,000 SKUs. So managing that quantity of listings is quite challenging. So obviously we focus our attention on the bread and butter. So the 80-20 rule. But obviously those other listings need to be looked at. So it's just the time-consuming aspect of it.
Okay, you both get into an elevator. It's 100 floors up. Mm. A new seller gets in with you. They recognize you because you're famous from the podcast now. And they say, oh, Nick, oh, Joe, I'm a new seller. And I love the idea of selling on eBay, but I need a pricing strategy. What bit of advice can you give me before I get off on the 100th floor? Go ahead, Nick.
Price 10% above what I'm at.
Okay, here's my floor. I'm like, that was good. Now, Joe.
I'll say, excuse me, it's not Joe. That must be my twin.
You don't want any competition.
All right. I don't want any extras.
Valid enough. Here's my floor. I'll get off. Best of luck to the both of you. I want to thank you both for taking part in our podcast. Lots of great content here. I hope that our listeners have picked up some great information. I'm sure they have on how they can adopt a pricing strategy.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having us.
We've been speaking with Nick Dunkley from the UK. He sells under the ID Plum World UK, and they sell everything to do with the bathroom. And Joe Lateef, who's Handy Imports on eBay in Australia, and they sell restaurant equipment. We'll be right back with Inside eBay. Today on Inside eBay, we're talking pricing strategies. And with us is Senior Manager of Business Enablement at eBay, Stephen Hong. Stephen, welcome back to the show.
Thanks, Griff. Glad to be here.
Hey, I have to ask you a question. What is business enablement? I mean, it sounds self-evident, but I just want to make sure.
Yeah, it's a team here at eBay in the Americas region that's focused on business operations. And I'm specifically focused on buyer pricing. Get to work in a number of different interesting parts of the business, inclusive of our deals program.
That's why you're here to help us discuss the topic, which is pricing strategies for sellers.
Yes, sir.
Now, why should a seller have a pricing strategy? Shouldn't they just make it up as they go?
We certainly do have sellers that do make it up as they go. But in the long run, if a seller wants to be in the business for a sustained amount of period of time, it really benefits them to be intentional about strategically pricing their inventory for the long run. If we're talking about a situation where they're trying to get rid of goods in a short span of time and not sell that stuff again in the near future, then that's different. But in terms of driving a sustainable business, it really makes sense to be long-term thinking about pricing.
Okay, so if I'm a seller and I'm going to create some sort of pricing strategy with the goal of making sales, right?
Yes.
Customers want to find the right price. They want to buy the item. What are some of the points that I have to look at? What determines what a good pricing strategy is? For example, how do I determine an item's value?
It's an interesting question. A values item, really what the market will purchase it at, right? I mean, there's a number of ways to assign value to something. Manufacturers like to put a watermark pricing out there when they talk about listing price or MSRP. But really, it's about what's the price that's going to move the item and cause buyers to transact. And you can assess that a number of different ways. One of the simplest ways is looking at the sold item history on eBay. And I'm sure a lot of sellers are already doing that, understanding what is this item selling at in recent transactions. And that's a kind of good reference point to start.
And that's different than looking at what it's listed at on eBay, which could be aspirational, but not realistic.
Yeah, that's a very good point. I mean, you might find a listing that's been live for a long time, but if it's not selling, then it's a reason that listing's been up for a long time.
And you can check sold listings and any search results by just filtering on the left-hand side of the page.
Yeah, it's a very easy way to look at it.
So let's talk about shipping costs, because those have to factor into it. And again, it sounds simple, but it's not that easy, especially if your margins are tight. If they're a low ASP item or average selling price, how should a seller go about determining how to absorb those costs in a way that can pass them on to buyers, not really impact their margins? How does that affect the creation of a pricing strategy for, say, just one particular item?
Shipping it's an interesting variable in the value equation for a seller and a buyer. And unfortunately, this might not be a gratifying answer for a lot of folks, but it's really dependent on what you're trying to sell and who the target market is. If you have an item that's unique, a collectible type item or an antique that's rare in the market, free shipping is not going to be as compelling of a value proposition as just having the item. But if you have something that's readily available, a commodity type item, there's a lot of other listings that are on the platform, free shipping becomes a really strong differentiator.
I've noticed that myself in the antiques and collectibles category. You see fewer listings that have free shipping, but it makes sense because people they're on the hunt for the item. They're going to pay the price, and if they're shipping, they're going to pay it. But like you said, I'm looking for an iPhone accessory. I'm looking for the best price.
Yeah, exactly. And there's also kind of this element of how much inventory do you have? If you enable free shipping, then the same price is going to be available to someone that's 50 miles away, and it's going to be the same price to somebody that's 400 miles away. And so there's sort of a variable price on shipping that the seller incurs. If you have 100 of those items or a big lot of inventory, you can kind of average out and kind of not lose a whole lot of money. But if you have one item, you need to think about what's the variation in terms of the profit you can expect depending on where you're shipping to.
We talked about sold listings. An important tool that a lot of experienced sellers use. Is it the only tool?
Yeah, I mean, the most simplistic way is really around just looking at the search history. But then you can also consider things like looking on Seller Hub. There's pricing insights available to those that subscribe to stores. And I think what you're getting at, Griff, is there's a tool that's now available for eBay store subscribers called TerraPeak. And many sellers that are listening might be already very familiar with that service that was recently acquired by eBay and now is available at no additional cost for store subscribers. TerraPeak aggregate a lot of this information as far as sold item counts and really make it easy to visualize it at a larger scale versus kind of hunting through different search queries, et cetera. It's a power tool of sorts to understand this pricing intelligence.
With sold listings, you're looking at sold listings. That's all you're seeing.
Mm-hmm.
You're not getting any insight into deeper data or deeper views into what sold and why or trends or who sold it and when it sold necessarily. But Does TerraPeak has all that detail?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you have at your fingertips now just average pricing over a certain span of time. You're able to track trend line, whereas before, I mean, you can certainly plot that, but it's manual versus now this tool enables you to do that. It's right at your fingertips.
So before we go, do you have any pricing tips for new sellers? These are the sellers that have the most fear and the most questions about pricing an item. They don't want to miss out on a profit, but they don't want to price it so high that it doesn't sell. What's your advice to that new seller?
Yeah, I mean, certainly use these tools and this data that's available at hand, but I think it's really just about the attitude of testing and learning, right? You might have this fear that you might lose money on a specific transaction, but if you are going to be doing this and are looking to do this for a long, sustained period of time, it's a little bit of tuition to learn, right? The category, the type of product, the velocity of demand on the site, and kind of learn by selling at different price points, trying different sales strategies, and gather that data over time to really know your product and understand the market.
So test.
Yes.
And if you're a new seller and you're afraid of maybe losing out, find something that you don't care about and list that as your first item and see how it goes. You're not really invested in it emotionally or financially, so it's a great way to learn at low risk.
That's a great point. If there's items that are kind of laying around, maybe not so high value, those are great products to test with. Low priced items that you can purchase in lots enables you to A/B test different sales strategies like promoted listings versus just deeper price discounts versus things like promotions manager. I mean, learn how your buyer reacts to different pricing strategies.
So check the site when it comes to sold listings. Utilize eBay tools like TerraPeak and don't be afraid to test and learn.
That's a great summary.
There's our takeaway, Stephen. Stephen, I want to thank you so much for stopping by and sharing your insights with us.
Thanks, Griff. You got it.
We've been speaking with Stephen Hong. He's the Senior Manager of Business Enablement here at eBay. Coming up next, we'll visit with Jen Deal and see what's hot for the coming season. Every month, we visit with our friends downstairs here in Building 6 to figure out what's hot. And in the studio today, we have Jen Deal. She's sharing with us what's hot this summer in travel, toys, and trends. And this is information that sellers can use. Welcome, Jen.
Thanks, Griff. I'm going to talk today about what sellers might be sourcing this month and next, especially as we hit a prime selling season in the next few weeks.
As in prime rib?
Well, it's a different kind of FOMO, actually, than having a high-end dish to devour. But yes, prime season, everybody listen to that. Historically, actually, retail summer sales were thought of as slow because people go on vacation.
Right.
But in e-commerce, that has changed everything. Right around the 4th of July, it is a key buying and selling period as the convergence of deals, peak summer season of travel, entertainment, and all over fun, and actually back to school shopping start to converge.
Yeah, because people shop on their phones. You can take your phones with you on vacation,
everywhere,
to the beach, to the barbecue. And when your friends get boring in their conversation or it's overcast at the beach, shop, 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 shop.
Exactly.
Okay, let's get into it. People generally travel and vacation during the summer. So what sells and when?
So luggage is a top seller during this time of year, but I'll be honest with the sellers, because we want you to do well. It's the third highest peak of the year. Still important, though, for carry-ons, accessories like packing cubes, makeup bags, handheld scales, and other travel needs. So if you're a travel category seller, plan for June through July, August as your summer periods. And then you go dark, actually, not dark, but like your lower sales are going to happen in September, October. And then they pick up again in November and December for like a true high peak season for travel purchases. But this is one of the top three. So don't forget to list those items.
Ironic, I'm about to travel in a few weeks and I'm looking for luggage. So
perfect.
Sellers, put some luggage up there. Hey, are there any specific brands or price points that we should focus on?
Top-selling luggage at this time of year is not brand-specific, but Samsonite, Herschel, and Tumi are usually brands that sell year-round.
Yeah.
And I'm seeing in TerraPeak that the average price point is around $92 with a $20 shipping cost. Hopefully that's helpful to some of you. Mm. And the sell-through has already been about 41% in the last 30 days. So that's pre-peak.
That's high.
That's really high.
That's a total category sell-through?
That's right.
I'm selling the wrong stuff.
Well, right, remember, we're in this is the peak time, right? So that's why
time,
we talk
right,
about these right, things, yeah.
All right, well, so now you mentioned toys are also big this time of year, and I wouldn't have thought that. I thought it was only during the holidays that they were a top seller.
They are, but these are toys for all ages. So summertime includes waves of water play.
Oh, yeah.
Pun intended.
I get it.
But the water sports bring out toys like wakeboarding and water skiing specifically, huge this time of year. I actually saw that there's this new toboggan mat that you can add to your water ski. Instead of water skis, you can add to the back of your boat a water mat. And so people can lay on it and drag you around.
Well, how
it's
is
like
that a sport?
$1,200.
How is that a sport if you're just laying on it
know,
and being dragged around?
I don't get it.
That's leisure.
It sounds really fun.
I see myself getting tangled up in a boat propeller. So.
Well, gotta be careful. That's true. There should be caveats to all these things. Other water sport categories that we see peaking right now: kayaking, canoeing, rafting, swimwear, life jackets, stand-up paddleboarding, and snorkeling.
Yeah, I've snorkeled. That's a sport. Yeah.
That's a sport, right?
I nearly drowned, but I snorkeled.
Chase fish, turtles, whatever.
What about pools and stuff?
Yeah, so large inflatables, lake inflatables, pool inflatables, all popular this time of year.
Hmm.
And this year, the unicorn comes back with slightly different styling.
Wait, unicorns?
Yeah, unicorns. You know the big pool floats with like a unicorn head that comes out?
Right.
Yeah, they used to be like swans and ducks, and then unicorns were popular last year. And now they're back again, but with a different look. Swans are popular again, and there's other new big things like food groups, food, fruits, and pizza slices have made it to the pools, sloths, birds, all kinds of birds.
Yikes.
And several large-scale lake floatables for multiple people.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Well, it sounds like a splash. Ba-dum-bum. Any other toys?
Yes. To cover off on toys for everyone, 'tis the season for golf. Mostly clubs sell at this time of year, but all things golf will sell. Fishing, terminal tackles, lines and leaders, rod and reel combos, reels, bait, lures, and flies. I hope everyone's recognizing that I'm only talking about some of the top selling categories and subcategories within that. But in that category in general, there's room for sales across the board. And the last one for toys would be cycling.
Oh, big boy toys.
Big boy toys, yep. Car and truck racks were at the top of the list. Clothing, bike accessories and components, and helmet.
I remember in my day when I was selling more shirts, if I had Harley Davidson shirts, this is the time of year they sold.
Oh, there you go.
So there's part of the trend. And speaking of trends, let's talk a little about that. What are some of the trends we're seeing?
Among trends in the next 6 to 8 weeks, the main areas of home and garden that peak through May until September, but specifically in June, are awnings, canopies, tents, umbrellas, beach shades and canopies for the beach or the lake, and then wedding supplies. We actually rarely talk about this, but venue decorations, favors, centerpieces, and table decor are popular right now.
Excuse me. I always cry at weddings. This is also a special month for some of us.
It is. This is also LGBTQ Pride Month, and various related products are on the market. And I heard someone had a motherload of sales over the weekend.
I did. I actually picked up on a trend, and I found out that IKEA was going to offer these special big bags, the Fracta bags, only they were in rainbow. So it was for Pride Month, but they couldn't be bought online, and they were limited edition. I drove over with some friends to IKEA. And then I bought a box of them. I think they've sold out since. I took the box home. Actually, at the restaurant, I started listing them.
Wow.
And 24 hours later, I'd sold all 96.
Well, check out you using the eBay app.
I was using the eBay app, and I made some walking around money.
Nice.
So let's wrap up. Any last trends we want to talk about?
I don't have any last ones I want to talk about. Do you have a couple tips, though, for everyone else that wants to find trends?
Oh, yeah.
So you don't always have to rely on us. But there are tools that we give you. A few of those are explore.ebay.com.
Our favorite site.
Yep. Available to everyone. Gives you top trending on eBay, bestsellers in the last week, day, or hour. And you can also search different items to see what they're worth. And they will give you trend lines on those items.
Mm-hmm.
TerraPeak is another one, which is included in store subscriptions for basic packages or higher, or you can pay $19.99 per month without a commitment, $12 on an annual plan. And then if you're looking beyond eBay, there are Google Trends, and that's at trends.google.com. And this is a place to find relevant product categories related to trends. So maybe that IKEA bag would have shown up there.
Yeah.
Bikes in keyword searches and regional trends and much, much more.
Yeah, I've checked it out. That's actually a really great site for picking up some tips about what's selling.
Absolutely.
Well, Jen, thank you. As usual, it's been enlightening, and I look forward to our visit next month.
Sounds great.
We've been speaking with Jen Deal. She visits us once a month to tell us what's hot so that we sellers know what we should be sourcing. Coming up next, you send us questions, we try to answer them. Let's see how that works. And now it's time for your questions and our answers, so-called. And joining me is Alan. Hi, Alan.
Hey, Griff.
And all the way from Temecula, California, via Skype, it's Doug Smith.
Hey, Griff and Alan. Thanks for having me back.
We couldn't do it without your expertise.
That's right.
So should we just jump in? These are questions that came in either, where did they come from, Doug?
They came from the podcast submission form and recent comments on podcast episodes the online community.
Well, so people are listening then.
That's right.
I'm so excited.
Thanks, people.
Yes.
Hi,
at
Mom.
At least these several people.
So, Doug, the first one is you're going to take. So would you read the question, please?
All right. Moody1957 asks, I need to start selling as soon as I can. Tell me how to start selling on this site.
Doug, how do you start selling on the site?
That's right. I would just say start selling. So it's pretty easy. There's login. Hopefully you have an eBay account set up already, Moody1957. And then there's a sell link at the top of the eBay homepage, or you can go directly to ebay.com/sell, and you will be guided through the steps to list an item. Some people find it easier just to list via the mobile app. That's how I did my first listing, because you can take your picture straight from there and it's a little easier to get it going. But be sure to read and follow all the steps. And once you familiarize yourself with everything, it gets easier. I would say also go to sellercenter.com and look up tips on taking photos. There's a great section in there on listing best practices.
Is it sellercenter.com?
It's ebay.com/sellercenter. Did I say sellercenter.com?
You did.
Oh, geez. Ignore that, Moody 1957. And then, you know, look at some listings. Hopefully you've bought on the site. That helps a little bit before.
Yeah.
But everything is done via guided steps, so that should help. And if you have any questions, you can always go to the eBay community as well.
That's right. Yeah, you can join the weekly chat from 1 to 2 Pacific at ebay.com/community.
Always plugging.
And as a new seller, I would recommend that you listen to a fantastic resource called the eBay for Business podcast.
Oh wait.
You're already listening to it.
Yes.
Every week we will drop the latest content direct from eBay headquarters, which will hopefully give you tips and insights to get an advantage over other sellers who don't listen to the podcast.
Yeah, and my suggestion would be find something that you don't want, like in your possessions. Hopefully something that's like new in package, or it has the package or the barcode. Because then you can scan it with your phone and it will fill in a lot of information. And if it's something you don't want, you're not emotionally or financially invested in it, you're going to list it for a penny or a dollar and let it go where it goes. And getting over the hump is getting over that first listing. Once you've listed and sold something, you'll feel very confident.
And that's what every seller says, is just start selling.
Just
start selling.
We hoped we helped you, Moody 1957, which, if I'm thinking correctly, she's using, or he or she is using, birthday, their birth year. So now we know they're 62 years old.
Go. Do it, Moody.
Never too late to start selling. Alan, I think the next one is yours.
Yeah. We had a question sent in by Loudblade for you. The member was wondering, is it possible when you're selling on eBay, instead of us paying you funds, rather you earned eBay credits? So rather than having funds transferred to your bank account or your PayPal account, could they keep credits on eBay and then you could use those credits to buy items on eBay or use the credits to bid on eBay auctions? So I'll start off by saying currently it's not possible right now. But what I've heard is as we have rolled out managed payments, we've talked about it in the show and in previous podcast episodes, we're currently on a multi-year journey to bring managed payments to eBay. So what that means is that buyers will pay eBay and then eBay will disperse the funds to you into your bank account. But some suggestions we've had from sellers is exactly what you're asking, is it wouldn't it be great if actually that money didn't go to my bank account, but it stayed on eBay in a place like Seller Hub, and then I could decide what I wanted to do with it. Maybe I want to transfer 50% to my bank account, but maybe I want to keep the other 50% on eBay for purchases. You know, it could be for personal purchases, it could be for purchasing inventory, for purchasing shipping supplies. Loudblade for you. Not possible right now, but I think in the future, at some stage, it could be possible.
Well, you know, it kind of is possible. I just thought of this.
Oh.
Right now.
Oh, dear.
Well, if you have a PayPal account.
Delete.
People pay you into PayPal. You can let the money sit there, and then you use PayPal to buy things on eBay.
Oh, yeah.
Duh.
That's why they pay you the big bucks.
Well,
you know, they use credits in the Star Wars universe instead of money. It's easier.
Quickly move on.
Yeah, please. This is for me, this one, because you'll figure it out. Hilda Bees asks, are Griff and Lee still doing the live radio show every week? How do I call in and chat with them? Oh. I have been away for a few years and would like to get back into selling. Well, I have some bad news. Lee retired and Griff and Lee as a radio show stopped production in
July.
It was the end of July at eBay Open. Yeah, last year, 2018. So no, we're not doing the live show anymore. Lee is working at home, enjoying her retirement with her husband, John. They're planting flowers and singing songs. And I think she might be doing voiceover work. But no, the show's not live. We're not doing that show anymore. But you can always listen to the eBay for Business podcast. And you are right now. So that's that answer.
No, Lee, but you have Alan and Doug and other co-hosts. So hopefully we fill that Lee-shaped hole in your eBay content calendar.
I'm just not going to go there. I'm not going there. Oh. Lee, if you're listening, it wasn't me that said that. Doug, the next question is yours.
And this may actually help Hilda Bees as well.
Oh, okay.
DM772012 asks, how can I find all new information about listings, refunds, and shipping fees?
Tell them, Doug.
That's right. Well, DM772012, you've come to the right place. Obviously, you have come to the podcast page. So the eBay for Business podcast is a great resource for the latest. You are in the eBay community. That's a great resource for the latest info. You're also going to want to go to ebay.com/sellercenter. Read our seller news announcements also in the eBay community. And, you know, check out the eBay for Business Facebook, the eBay for Business YouTube channel, all those informational items out there.
Well, that was good information, Doug. Thanks.
Thanks, Doug.
Thanks, Griff.
So this next question is interesting. It's at first, I was a little confused by it, but I think I know what she's asking. My Cottage Books and Antiques asks, when are you guys going to add coded coupons to the promotions manager options? And at first I said, well, we have those. We have the, oh, yes, they're the codeless coupons. So we have codeless coupons. Uh-huh. It's basically a URL that you can give, can provide the people to whom you give the URL a set discount on whatever listings and you are offering in that promotion. There is no plans at the moment to add a coded coupon where you type in a code, but I'll pass that information on to the promotions manager team. And who knows, perhaps it'll spark something. I can't promise it will, but you never know. And then Took It Home asks, is there any way to bulk end listings as to avoid the automatic renewal for good until canceled? We were trying to divvy these up, but I really wanted to answer this one.
Well, knock yourself out.
Yeah, you can.
Go for it.
Go for it.
You know,
enjoy.
If you go to the active view in Seller Hub, you can select a bunch of listings and you can click edit and it will take you into the bulk edit field. And you can, one of the things you can do is end all the listings.
Oh, why would you want to do that?
Well, that was my point.
Okay.
Why do people still hold on to this really bad business practice? There is no reason to do this. And I've heard sellers kind of justify saying, I want to look at my listings and make changes. I got to be honest, and I know I'm going to cause a firestorm here, but I don't believe that. I actually think people think, if I end all my listings and restart them, I'm gaming some ranking in search.
Oh, yeah.
And the answer is no.
No, and we have... Yeah, we've chatted with the search team. This has come up over the last couple of months since we announced changes to Guzzle Cancelled. And it seems like it's an urban legend that there is no boost. Sellers mention boost, and I'm doing doing my
quotations.
Right. And I don't think it's a thing. And, you know, I think of it as a store on the high street. You're basically taking all of your stock off your shelves for whatever period of time. You know, people are walking by your store and they can't buy your items because they're not there because you're ending them. So leave them up. Someone will see them or they'll tell their friend and their friend will come along and purchase them. Whereas you're basically deleting your listings and starting fresh every 30 days or however long you do it. And it's just not best practice.
And if you need to, if you feel you want to edit your listings, you can edit them live. So you don't have to end them to edit them. You can revise them and they don't end and then restart. I just think it's a really bad practice. You're creating a lot of extra work for yourself. And the next one, we can all jump in. Okay. So this is our last question. I love this one. Pro Maintenance Plus says, why isn't eBay open free to attend for the sellers that pay eBay fees every month? Alan?
Well,
Doug.
Get what you pay for.
We could dedicate a whole podcast to this.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, where do you draw the line? If you sell one thing, do you get a free ticket? Yeah. And how many active sellers? We've 50
million.
57 million?
Yeah.
Number one at the convention center in Las Vegas doesn't know 57 million sellers. And I think the point Doug wants to touch on is you definitely pay for what you get. And it is a big investment by eBay to put on this show every year.
It's also a lot of resources. I mean, it takes a lot of employee time. There's a lot of cost on eBay's end. And eBay's a business. It's not a nonprofit. And we're not talking tens or hundreds of thousands of dollars. We are talking millions and millions of dollars to put on this event.
Exactly. And it's definitely you're putting some skin in the game by purchasing the ticket.
Well, now that's the big one. Because we've learned over the years of doing even small events that if you charge nothing, people perceive the value as nothing. You get tons of people who register because there's no risk and they never show up. Yeah. So you can never get an accurate count. Alan pointed out earlier that when it comes to comparison to other marketplaces that have events for sellers, it's pretty reasonable.
And you get all that food and there's a good party at the end.
And you get to meet Alan, Doug, and Griff.
Wow.
That's right, at the community booth.
Sorry about that.
And, you know, other industry conventions are much more expensive than eBay Open is. It's, you know, relatively compared to other conventions and conferences, a bargain.
And I've heard sellers say that actually it works out pretty inexpensive because they can write it off for tax reasons.
Yeah,
or they can knock some of it off. I'm not entirely sure how that works.
You can knock almost the entire week off as long as it's, you know, because you're doing it for business. It's all a business expense. So your tickets, your hotels, the cost to go to the convention, meals, those are all tax deductible if you're reporting as a business.
Well, there you go.
So
we just saved you some money if you weren't aware of that.
I hope so. You know, as we speak, the Big Apple Conference is happening in San Jose.
Right.
There's like 15,000 devotees here for the Worldwide Developer Conference. The tickets for those are incredibly hard to get and very expensive.
So. Oh, really? Yeah. Get what you pay for. And all of the surveys and all of the results, we survey all sellers after eBay Open, and it's the highest approval rating I've ever seen.
Yeah.
All sellers love it and give great feedback on it and say they learn things, tips and insights that will help them grow their business. So, you know, that money that you put down on a ticket is certainly money that you'll make back if you, you know, absorb all the info and apply it to your business.
Well, I hope we answered that question. I think we did.
I think we did.
And the networking opportunities.
Oh, yeah. Well,
that's true.
Alone.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. Well, Doug, tell folks where they can go if they have questions that they want to submit to the three wise oracles the podcast.
Well, they can go to ebay.com/podcast.
Okay.
They can email us at podcast@ebay.com. They can call in to 888-723-4630 any time of day, 24 hours. Leave us a message. And then also if you go to ebay.com/ebay podcast.
Wow, so many options.
Yeah, you've totally confused me, but thank you.
Exhausted. Okay. I've exhausted the options.
I think podcast@ebay.com. Simple.
Well, Doug and well, Alan, thanks once again for joining us here on the question and answer segment.
Thanks, well, Griff.
Coming up next, time to end the show, finally. Hey, Alan.
Hey, Griff.
We've reached the end of the episode.
Really? I thought for sure there was another segment.
Nope, that's all there is for this episode.
It goes by so fast.
And let me tell you, it only goes faster as you get older. So there's that to look forward to,
great.
Young lad. But fear not, the inexorable march of time be damned, there's another episode waiting in the wings. And the theme for next week's episode is...
The right customer service.
Exactly. The right customer service is the best customer service. Easy to say, but often a challenge to deliver.
We'll spend most of next week's episode exploring what makes up the right customer service as we talk with seasoned experts on both the seller side and the eBay side, and then we'll delve into customer service strategies with two eBay sellers.
But wait, there's more.
Okay.
I'll talk with eBay Senior Vice President of Global Customer Experience, Wendy Jones. She's a good friend of the podcast. She's going to talk about what it takes to know your customers better in order to meet their needs and expectations, both pre- and post-transaction.
That is exciting. Well, I can't wait, and I have to let you know, Griff, I will be listening from Ireland.
Oh, right. I nearly forgot. Mm-hmm. You're going on an extended vacation in the Emerald Isle, your homeland.
Yeah.
The place of your birth.
Yeah.
How very nice for you, Alan.
Yeah.
What do you have planned?
Oh, not much. Mostly relaxing. Katrin and I are taking the baby to meet my mother and family.
And to the pub, no doubt.
No doubt.
Don't let him do it, Mrs. A's bit.
A call out to my mother. Nice one.
My pleasure. Hello, Julia. Hope you're enjoying your son's newfound celebrity. He's a big star now.
I wouldn't go that far.
Yes, you would.
Yes, I would.
Well, have a great time. How long are you gone?
4 weeks. Hi, Mom.
Yikes. What do we do here on the podcast?
I've arranged for some substitute stand-in co-hosts. See you soon, Mommy.
Wait, substitute co-host? Anyone I know?
I don't believe so, but you'll get to like them. I'm sure me mom will like them too.
Did anyone clear this with me?
And don't forget, if you want to join the fun here on the eBay for Business podcast, you can be a part of the show when you call us on 888-723-4630.
That's right. Call us at 888-723-4630. It's toll-free from Ireland. And did you know you can call that hotline any time of the day or any day of the week? Yes, you heard right. Any time of the day. So leave a question or comment, and we just might put it on the air as long as it isn't account-specific.
That's right. Those you have to send directly to eBay customer support. And we have our very own email address that also works if you're in Ireland. You can send your emails to us at podcast@ebay.com. That address again is podcast@ebay.com.
Now some serious thoughts here. Has your co-host up and left you for a trip back to his home country?
Hey.
Are you stranded alone in your podcast studio with no one to share bon mots and witticisms? Left to the misery of producing 4 episodes, count them, 4 podcast episodes without the support and assistance of your regular co-host?
Are you okay?
Well, then you should be attending a local eBay seller meetup in your area. At seller meetups, sellers share tips, stories, insights, and they even commiserate about co-hosts that have abandoned them for a vacation. You can see meetups that are scheduled on our special eBay community page for meetups at www.ebay.com/meetups.
And don't forget to tune into the weekly live video stream on the eBay for Business Facebook page every Wednesday at 12:30 Pacific time. Go to facebook.com/ebayforbusiness and then jump over to the weekly community chat every Wednesday at 1 p.m. Pacific at ebay.com/community chat.
Now, wait. Before you leave on that jet plane, would you roll the credits for us one more time, Alan?
Yeah, and don't be too upset. It's only 4 weeks, and I will be back in time for eBay Open.
I sure hope so.
And we get to hang out with 1,500 sellers in Vegas. Lucky us.
It's a dream come true.
Stop by the podcast booth.
Yeah, we'll be looking for people to put on the podcast.
We will.
That's right.
We will. Come see me. Come find me.
Credits, Alan.
Here we go.
You got a pack.
Thanks for the reminder. Our podcast is a community effort, and we couldn't do it without Director of Community, Brian Burke.
Community Manager, Alan Aisbitt.
Executive Vice President, Segment Producer, Doug Smith.
Steady on, Doug. Marketing Strategist, Liz Austin.
Editor-in-Chief and Host, Griff.
That's Executive Chairman of the Board, President of Podcast, and Editor-in-Chief, Griff.
Oh, fancy.
And finally, my esteemed co-host, Alan Just Alan.
They know that, Griff. See you next month. Mother.
eBay for Business is produced and distributed by Libsyn and Podcast 411. Who are these co-hosts that you've got to?
I was walking outside to get a coffee, and I saw there was a guy outside on the street, and I said, hey, do you want to be on a podcast?
He said,
what's a podcast?
You're kidding.
I said, well.
So he'll take it up another level from the current level we have now.
Oh. Ouch.
You know, we kind of asked for it. No, really, have a good time.
Thank you, Griff.
Will you be thinking of it? Your seat may be open for you when you come back.
I know. I hope they do good, but not too good, because I would like to do it when I come back.
I'm sure our audience feels the same way.
I really hope so.
Okay, bye.
Thanks, bye.